Today I'd like to focus on a phenomena that took over the city of Chicago back in the 80s and beyond. He actually was drafted by the Chicago Bears back in 1961, first round, fifth pick, and played till 66, then played with the Eagles, and then played with the Cowboys. His name is Mike Ditka, born October 18th, 1939, tight end. He also was an assistant head coach with the Dallas Cowboys, Chicago Bears head coach, and New Orleans Saints head coach. He's got a lot of credentials as both a player and a head coach. Super Bowl champion, these are as a player. NFL champion, five-time Pro Bowl, five-time first-team All-Pro, NFL Rookie of the Year, NFL 75th Anniversary All-Time Team. His Chicago Bears number 89 is retired, a unanimous All-American in college, and his Pittsburgh Panthers number 89 is retired. As a head coach, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, and a Super Bowl champion. He was born in Pennsylvania, and he and Tom Flores are the only people to win an NFL title as a player, an assistant coach, and a head coach. And Ditka, Flores, and Gary Kubiak are also the only people in modern NFL history to win a championship as a head coach of a team he played for previously. He's the only person to participate in both of the last two Chicago Bears League's championships, as a player in 1963 and as a head coach in 1985. He's known by the nickname Iron Mike, which he says comes from his being born and raised in a steel town in Pennsylvania. And as I was saying, he took over Chicago in the 80s, but he also took over the country as just this great celebrity. Saturday Night Live would do skits where guys would meet at a bar for Swirsky's and talk about Ditka and the Bears, and all over the place, people looked at him in an entertaining way, and yet we loved him as a coach, being a Chicago Bears fan myself and watching what was going on. It was always entertaining and fun. He even opened a restaurant in Chicago, obviously called Ditka's. But I want to focus on something today as I was thinking about how the Chicago people took him on as someone that they loved and revered. At one point, back in 1988, November of 1988, he's 49 years old and he suffers a mild heart attack, and it happened during the daily workout at the team's training camp, and he was hospitalized right away, and it broke into the news all over the place, and it was like Chicago shut down in the area of what's going to happen. We look to him as somebody that's going to continue bringing the Chicago Bears to success and wins. They only won that one Super Bowl, but they were constantly being looked at as people that are a team that could keep going on, and we just ate it up. And I thought about that when I think about what we value in this society, and the right away people were constantly, they would break into different shows and they would tell us on TV how he was doing. This was before the news was constantly on 24/7 like it is today. And so if you had cable, you could get CNN, but a lot of times people just didn't have that. We followed things through the air, and when we were watching regular TV, there was constant break-ins of how he was doing, And we were all interested. We cared because we wanted the best for him. I was thinking, what if we had the same kind of care for the what the Bible talks about when it talks about the heart? When Jesus talked about the heart, he says back in, he was talking about what was important on the inner part of a person as opposed to the outer part. And he comes to Matthew 23 and he says in verses 25 and 26, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of extortion and rapacity. You blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside the cup and of the plate, that the outside also may be clean. You see, the aim of Jesus Christ is not to reform the manners that are in society, but he wants to change the hearts of sinners like you and me. So Jesus would not be satisfied with a society in which there were no acts of adultery, because he says in Matthew 5, 27 and 28, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." See, in the Bible, the heart is what you are. It's what you are in the secrecy of your thoughts and your feelings, when nobody knows about those things but God. And those are the things that what you are at the invisible root matters as much to God as what you are at the visible branch. It says in 1 Samuel 16:7, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. From the heart are all issues of life." Matthew 15, 18 and 19 says, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." Matthew 12, 33 and 34. So the heart is utterly crucial to Jesus. What we are in the deep, private recesses of our lives is what he cares about most. He didn't come into the world simply because we have some bad habits that need to be broken. He came into the world because we have such dirty hearts that need to be purified. So when he says in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," this is important to Jesus. So let me ask you, what is it to see God? What is it to know that you have access to God? Well, there's different aspects to that. But let me ask you another question. What is it to be pure in heart? David says this in Psalm 24, 3 and 4. "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully." So what do you think about? What is part of your heart? And how are those two things bound together, seeing God and being pure in heart? I want to encourage you that if you've never taken seriously your heart condition, that you'd do that today, that you'd call out to Jesus and say, I see a heart that isn't true to you. Don't compare yourself to the worst person or the guy next door, and you look at him and he doesn't look that great, and you think, well, at least I'm better than him. He's not the standard. Jesus is the standard. And so I would hope that you and I, although back in 88, the whole city of Chicago was concerned about Mike Ditka's heart condition, his physical heart condition, in the Bible, in the New Testament, when the Bible talks about heart, it doesn't talk about the physical organ. It's talking about the center of a man or a woman's life. And it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We need heart cleaning. We need a pure heart. And that comes because of a finished work of Jesus Christ. So I invite you today to cry out to Jesus, and you'd care more about your heart condition, spiritually speaking, than even your physical heart. Physical heart's important, obviously, but where is your heart today when it comes to your standing with the living God?